Hello, everybody out there on BBS land, internet radio land. Monday night, I think it's April 12th or 11th, 2011. And welcome, everybody, to the Winfrey Monday Night Show. Wynn's rounding up the conference line, and he's going to be on in a minute. We have conference line where people call in, and we also have BBS radio. So there's two ways to listen, one on the conference line and one on BBS radio. And we tape record the calls, and BBS tape records the calls, and they have archives that somebody can sign up for, and then they can get the back copies and listen to the audio. And we also have a transcriber, and we send out transcriptions.
How do you sign up, Terry?
Pardon?
How do they sign up?
You go to Message A Day. You go to messageaday.net and then read the information. You can get messages every day, find out more about how to get transcripts and when the calls are. And mm-hmm. Winfrey is with us now. Our host, Winfrey.
This is Winfrey, the earthly host. And, of course, Terry Brown represents the heavenly host. So we have lots of hosts. who's laughing?
Yeah, literally.
Is that
literally.
Terry?
Huh? Yes.
So Terry and I are having an adventure. We're on the way to Phoenix, and we were supposed to leave early, but Terry was having trouble getting her phone off of mute, so we were 2 hours delayed. And so we are at Starbucks on the way to Phoenix. So if you hear the background noise, Terry is in the car so she can hold the space, and I'm sitting in Starbucks. Can you hear the people in Starbucks?
No, it's pretty silent, Wynn.
Pretty silent. Oh, good. Okay.
Don't forget your own recording.
Thank you. So if you're listening for the first time, this is a conference call merged with an internet broadcast, and it involves what we call interdimensional communication. And there's two kinds of interdimensional communication. One is the stuff you hear with your ears, and the other is the kind you feel with your vibes, I guess, or your sixth sense or your intuition. Both of those are taking place here on this call. And I should have started the recording. And just a second.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
And this is Monday, April 11th, Winfrey and Terry in Camp Verde, Arizona. And this is our internet conference call. And if you hear that noise in the background, what's your name?
Kelly.
If you listen to my conference call tonight, you're going to be on it.
Okay.
Anna Lee is our host. We have three hosts here. We have the heavenly host. We have Wynn is the earthly host. And we have Anna Lee, who is the Starbucks host. Right? You try?
Yeah. Would I be able to go online?
Yeah. We actually sign up to everything I told you about, okay? And you'll get all kinds of messages, and you can listen in, okay?
I would be very interested.
Yeah, I know you would. Send me an email after you sign up, and I'll make sure you get everything down right. Anna Lee, you know how we put crystal kids in the light? Anna Lee is an undiscovered crystal kid. Come here a second.
Okay,
and she's never heard this before, but I can tell them, right? And I should take a picture of you later. Then there goes somebody doesn't want to hear this. Hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Let's see if I can take a picture. Okay. I can take a picture. This is new here. Okay, there she is. Yeah. She's very photogenic. Those of you that are listening, when we send out the replays, we'll make sure we send out a picture. We got her. I hope. Let's see. Yep. And so, Crystal, what it is our planet's going through this big shift right now. And a lot of kind of angelic beings came in from higher realms to help with the shift. But once they're here, they don't remember that. And that's what a crystal kit is.
Really?
Yeah.
So, for the past week, every single night, I've been dreaming about the end of the world.
Okay, come into our conference calls. Don't tell that to everybody. We're on the air. Okay. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You're there?
I'm right here. Yes.
Actually, there's more to it. If you start coming into our calls, you'll understand the big picture, okay?
Yeah,
this is the big picture. This will, like, fill in the dots. This is why you're here, okay, I think. You know, check it out and see if it makes sense, okay? So in any case, we do this 3 times a week. So you can call in. You can say hello to everybody. You'll feel connected to everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Just make sure you figure out everything, okay?
Okay.
All right. I got to get back to work.
Okay.
All right? This is not work, but, you know, I guess. Bye, Annalise. Okay. Now, that's right here at Starbucks on the 17 freeway on the way to Phoenix. And what we're going to do today, if you got my email, which I sent out 5 minutes before the show, so you probably didn't, but I wanted to have a conversation with, how did I put the headline? Do you recognize the boogeyman? And if you watch movies, in movies, the boogeyman is always recognizable because he looks really bad. He looks scary. He looks like he's going to get you. But in reality, the boogeyman most often, or very often, does not look scary. And, in fact, looks like something or someone you'd really like to know. And Jesus kind of called it correctly when he talked about the wolf in sheep's clothing. And in the course of the last 7 or 8 years, I've learned a lot about boogeymen, how they work, the reality of them, probably more than I want to completely share on this call. But I do want to share enough so that you guys have some idea what is out there and what could present itself to you, and perhaps learn how to think twice. Because, you know, as much as we're committed to being here, at some point, we probably won't, and you're going to be on your own at some point in the future. And I need to make sure you have the tools to know how to cope and have it discern if that point comes. I think it's a little noisy here, so I'm going to try to find a more quiet spot. This is Lynn and Terry on the 17 freeway in Camp Verde. And here we go. We'll try this as a more quiet spot. So, all right. So I'm going to share. I'll take a few minutes and share a little bit.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We just muted everybody. Share a little bit about some of the things I've learned about the negative. Now, if you studied the Carla Ruckert material, she says, she doesn't call it positive and negative. She calls it service to self and service to others. And the distinctions of service to self and service to others go up very, very high in the realms. In fact, they can both go equally high up to one point. And that one point comes when the law of one activates. And the law of one, by the time you hit the law of one, there's no more hierarchy because everyone is part of you. How can there be hierarchy when it's all you? So if you are on a negative path and you're going up into high negative, you can go all the way to the top. Now, you might think you have to fall back and start over again if you're going to go positive, but that's not really true. You can just switch. Now, how does the negative work? And how is it, why is it that, according to Carla Ruckert, to move through the realms on the negative, you need to be 95% negative. But to move through the realms on the positive, you only need to be 51%. Why are those numbers those numbers? Why is that? Well, I thought about that for a long time to figure that out for myself. And I kind of think I intuitively got it. The deal with the negative is that it constantly has to absorb energy from that which is below it. It doesn't get energy from that which is above it. So it needs to manipulate everything and everyone under its umbrella, including the positive. It doesn't care whether you're positive or negative. It just cares if it can get your energy pointed in its direction. And so if you get enough energy pointed in your direction, you can then evolve through the realms in a constant kind of manipulation, I guess is the right word, to get energy. So the thing about the negative is that when it stops getting energy, it suddenly goes empty. So there's not a lot of room for self-contemplation, for long walks by yourself. Maybe there is. I don't know. But there's emptiness because as soon as the energy stops coming towards you, it's empty. So you need more. You need more. So that's why you need such a high percentage of being service to self to keep moving upwards. Because as soon as energy is not hitting you, you're empty. Service to others allows you to feel energy all the, I won't say all the time, but a higher percentage of the time. Because if no one's pointing energy towards you, you can still connect with energy. You can connect with energy empathetically. You can watch television and feel people. You can walk down the street and feel people without trying to organize their energy. Whereas a service-to-self person would be always attempting to organize energy and pointing energy towards it. Now, it's not obvious when people are doing that. It's not obvious because they can be presenting things of great value to you. When I say people, I don't mean just people. I mean people and spirits. There were a couple of times with Terry where we had, you know, spirit forms come in of famous names. And when we asked them to leave, they wouldn't leave. Do you want to tell that story? Let's not say the name of the entity. Terry, are you on?
I'm here.
Don't say the name, but just say what happened.
I won't say the names.
I had gone to a talk, right? And somebody was channeling that entity. Is that right? And then when I came back, they were trying to come through. I can't remember. So you tell the story, okay?
Okay. This entity, we were channeling, and this entity tried to come through. And just bust in to the comm line, just bust into the frequency, and I said I didn't want to channel that entity, and it just tried anyway to come on in, and we had to end the session. And another time, it was a different entity, and it came in, and there was a question somebody asked about the certain entity, and the entity came in and was very enthusiastic. And we explained to the entity that we weren't channeling that entity right then, and we didn't want to, and it just kept on trying to get through, and so we had the end session then too. It's the first entity I had felt was negative. The second entity I had felt that may have been positive, but we were not channeling that entity right then, and we wanted to stay on track with what we were doing. So
but he
those
didn't
want to
leave,
times.
Right?
He didn't want to leave. No, he just kept on, and so we ended session.
So that was an example of that entity not honoring free will. And actually, that particular entity is quite renowned. Many people channel him. Now, I don't know if it's that entity. He said it was that entity. We felt it was that entity. You know, in channeling, there's a great deal of mystery involved where you don't really, how can you say it? It's not like you go and meet somebody and you see their face and you say, oh, that's Wynn or that's Terry or that's Heise. You've got invisible realms and voices. And somebody says they're somebody, and you would have to assume that negative is going to say they're somebody and not be who they say. And then with people, one of the things with people who channel is very often they become endeared with their own channelings. In fact, you know, this is something to look at with channeling. Look at the person who's channeling. And does that person relish the recognition? Are they attached to the attention that's being paid to them? Because if they are attached to the attention that's being paid to them, there's a good chance that there is some mixed polarity potential, which means a negative source could come through them. Because you can't, once you're attached to the attention, you become attached to pleasing people. Once you become attached to pleasing people, then it's like, what can I share with you that's going to, that you're going to like? And once I'm doing that, there's a compromise in the energy, in the intent on my part. And that compromise, mine or Terry's, that compromise allows the potential for a negative source. And when a negative source comes in, they then will do things that lead people astray. Like if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, there's the whole story of the negative source that came through Casey, as indicated in the book. Now, in this particular case, I am fairly sure that channeling was accurate, the information from Wilcox. And the reason was, 30 years ago, when I read Edgar Casey, and there was this doomsday prophecy about everything falling into the ocean, then there was, a little bit later, in another channeling, it said, these changes will come gradually. And, man, that stuck in my mind. I said, why is there a doomsday prophecy, and why... Another later, will these changes come gradually? And then Wilcox, if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, there's the section where they actually talk about that and say that that source with the doomsday prophecy was negative. And, you know, if enough people make a doomsday prophecy and talk about it, that actually is creating a consensus reality that can bring it about. See, the amazing thing that we who are checking into this line are learning that there are not things that are destined to occur. There are things that we are creating to occur. We as humans, as a collective. And if we change the way we create, then future events will happen differently. When people make prophecies, it's based on energies of the collective that have been happening for many years. For example, if Edgar Casey made that prophecy and people repeat it over and over again, it's putting energy into that prophecy. Terry and I had a private channeling, really, lately, and we were talking about some of this stuff, and they were saying how incredibly powerful it was when people would be assuming something would be happening. And we're talking about it as if it was happening. And if somebody today says something prophetically, that something is going to happen, then that person is actually casting their vote for that particular thing to happen. Because in the highest truth, there is nothing that has to happen except what we create. And so, on that note, before I get emails saying I talk too much, are you ready, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay. We're kind of, I'm in a public place, outside on a patio, and Terry is in the car, so she's kind of in a energetic space. We're going to talk about boogeymen. Now, you know, the fact that I call them boogeymen is almost a wrong way to identify it, because that immediately says fear, devil, run, hide, don't get me, the boogeyman's going to get you. So let me apologize for using that word and correct it to a word which is less loaded. So we'll call it just the negative, the service to self, the things that would the bottom line is there are people, there are energies, there are spirits that will trap you. And you don't know you're trapped until it's too late, oftentimes. So you need to be able to identify these things before you get trapped and know how to go the other direction and shut the energies down. And on that note, I'm going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line and everyone who listens to the replays. And we now see the energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through our galaxy, through the solar system, through the outer energies of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection for all those who would free willingly choose to participate on this line. We invite those sources that are positive service to others to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And take a moment and shut your eyes. Feel the energy. And while we're feeling it, let's to all everyone that's listening to this that needs a healing, to Carolyn Sabin, who's in the hospital in London, to Dee's husband, and anyone else, put it in your consciousness. See them in your space and send them this love light energy. And do we have an introductory comment on how to avoid getting trapped by the negative?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is brought on April 11th, 2011, through BBS Radio and the conference call, and welcome to everybody who will listen to the call later or read any transcripts. And we send you love and greetings and warmth and caring. And we are here to answer your questions, and we have a few comments to make on the negative. One of the things that happens in the third density is individuals enter into duality. Are they going to go on the trip? Are they not going to go on the trip? Are they going to plant a garden? Are they not going to plant a garden? Are they going to live to be 100, or are they not going to live to be 100? There is a duality when one checks into the third density, and it is this duality that is the germinating seeds for negativity. The animal spirit who is in an attack mode, who is attempting to make the kill, to have the food, to be able to survive. So living in the third density places one in the jeopardy of coming in contact with negativity. There is a flip side to things in the third density. And it is a very good exercise for an individual who goes into the third density to be able to live and learn to have the discipline to bring through love light in circumstances and enter love light into their life and make the connection between their home base, their true nature, and the animal nature that they come in contact with in the third density. Do you have questions?
Well, it seems to me that one of the ways, you know, I can say that I've been around for quite some time in this realm, and in the past 8 years, I have learned things beyond the scope of anything I could even imagine I would have learned, to the point where I believe I have some idea of how things work. But I don't believe if I had this learning experience that I would be immune from connecting with something negative and getting tricked. So it seems like it's a little unfair because it's so sophisticated, the way the negative works, that unless somebody comes into something like this and hears some signs of things to look for, they could easily get hooked. And it seems to me that the way the negative hooks you is through creating obligation of some sort or another. Now, I know there's obligation is necessary for 3D life. There's agreements that people make, landlords and tenants and husbands and wives. There's obligation. How can you tell when it's okay to enter into an obligation and there's not a negative thing on the other side sucking you in to trap you?
This is a good question, as there is that survival side wherein individuals tend to wish to suck energy in to increase their own survival, as they have forgotten that their life is not all that exists. And they think that their life is all that exists. And so they attempt to bring energy to themselves and money and power and to increase their own survival while they can, and they feel that there is no past that moves into future time and will carry them past death and into a transition and into a rebirth and into a whole new life. So one needs to be alert and to watch for the signs that they have been led in to a one-way street. One can be alert in their contacts with others that the others are service to other people. Do they pull energy only to themselves for their own betterment and give energy as a lure or a bait to pull in more energy, or do they selflessly give? What is their viewpoint of self? Do they see others as part of themselves, or do they see themselves as a separate entity that is separated and not connected and of a more isolated nature, or do they connect with others and give and take? There is a feeling one can get in the connection with others, of whether these others are service to self or service to others or service to self. We say that not everything all the time will go correctly, and when one finds that they have been drawn in to move to get out of the situation and to reestablish themselves, as there are service to other people out there, which the give and take will be of great significance. We are not hearing you.
There are some that I was muted. Thank you. I'm learning from Terry. There are some very overt service to self things, maybe perhaps like a mob, or I don't want to use the word of a particular mob, but you know what I mean, a mob that extorts money, that's engaged in stuff, that loans you money and then controls you for the rest of your life. I mean, we've all seen that on TV, and I believe it works that way in real life, and that once you're under their auspices, you can't get out. That's one kind of obligation of service to self, hooking somebody. And then there's another kind of service to self, which is more of an, you know what, I'll just describe this and let them comment on it. It's more of the, we had a whole session on entrainment, how when you pay attention to something, you're giving energy to it. And when you're giving energy to something, there's a back and forth energy, and there's an entrainment where your energy falls into a certain level of the hologram, depending on the level of entrainment. And that can be very positive or very negative, depending. For example, we do these calls 3 times a week. And if you're listening 3 times a week, and if you're reading our material, there's a fairly good chance you're getting entrained to a certain energy which is connected from very high celestial realms, which will teach you how to make those connections for yourself over time. And that would be a kind of entrainment, an entrainment into high realms of spirit. And then you could take somebody like a Hitler, who's charismatic and can stand in front of a group of people and move them very emotionally and even lift their spirits, but yet he's entraining them into a service to self mission where he convinced millions of people that it was okay to exterminate Jews. So in that case, the people are not getting involved in an obligatory relationship like with the mob, but they're getting entrained to a service to self frequency. And I would imagine that if you allow that to occur for you, it could greatly impact your future lifetimes. But I don't know, because I can't see that. So that's the question I would ask. If a person has allowed themselves to get into the entrainment frequencies of a service to self being, how does that impact them when they leave this realm?
If one follows the energy trail and they are used to getting their energy from a service to self pattern, they are unlikely to change unless they change while they are still in the third density. recover if they move into the transition period after their physical body passes away and they're used to this pattern, they may still try to suck energy from others, and they may, whatever choice they make as to their future after their body passes on, they will still carry this pattern until the point where they would see the need to change this pattern and change the pattern. They would likely come back to reinstate the pattern with friends that they had been in the pattern with before. Look at what is the payback with energy. And often their desire to bring energy to them from others is based upon a lack of self-worth, wherein they do not give themselves credit, and they do not give themselves love, and they do not honor and respect their own being. And they attempt then to collapse the energy from others into their space to give themselves worth. And this will never work, as it is trying to fill up an empty hole that devours all the energy and does not replace it with self-worth, self-giving, self-love. So there is a bottom line to begin to find things that one can give themselves credit for, not to beat themselves up, as they are the source of their power, and to begin to love themselves, and like a flower that has been wilted, to become strong and to regain its stature. And then, and only then, can it truly give and take.
Thank you. A fine refinement of this is, I have observed with my own eyes many very beautiful people who are members of churches that I believe at the top of the church, they're guided, the church is guided by negative sources. And when you have somebody who is a totally loving and self, apparently self, loving themselves and worthy, feeling worthy, that is a member of a church or an organization that has a negative source at its core, how does that impact the karmic development of that person?
The individual can grow, whoever can be stifled at a certain level that it is hard to grow beyond, because the heart of the organization is taking energy. So the individual may try very, very hard to give energy, to give service, and may feel a limit in their growth, because at a certain point, the relationship between the individual and the heart of the organization is a dead end, and the individual cannot move past the limitation set, an example set by the heart of the organization.
Thank you. So one has to be rather careful about their affiliations with organizations.
Yes.
Let's see, it's 6:49. How about affiliations with people? Let's suppose you're a service to other orientation person and you suddenly marry a person who is very service to self. And how is that going to impact your karmic evolution?
It depends upon your reaction to it. One has a tendency, if they have gone into a relationship and taken vows of commitment to do that individual, they may limit their own growth and keep trying to bring the other person up to their level. However, their level is limited by the level of the other person that they have chosen to spend so much time and commitment with. So if they don't move out of that relationship but stay in that relationship, it could set a limit upon the amount of growth that they can have. However, even so, they could realize, be aware of that limitation, and then allow and grant beingness to that other person to be as they are, and to give them love and caring, and yet to redefine themselves in other spheres that they may continue to grow spiritually and connecting with the higher realms and learning and getting discipline within their own being and learning to love themselves and to simply treat the relationship as a matter of fact. It is what it is, and to provide stability for the other person in spite of the detriment of the other person being service to self. In other words, to be able to coexist non-linearly with a faction that is of a lesser mode of operation.
I've seen this work for certain people where they have a relationship based on security and maybe a sexual interchange, but the person who is more evolved will go out and seek spiritual groups and things to participate with outside of the relationship, and the relationship is actually giving them a certain grounding stability so that they can do that. And I've seen that happen a number of times with people. You know what? It's 6:53, and I'm going to say we have to stop this call right now. Thank you so much for the insight on this topic. And let me see. I'll just unmute.
All callers are muted.
Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, our telephone line is unmuted. Before we hang up, do you want to say goodbye to everybody that's listening in on BBS and on replays?
Bye, BBS.
We.
Goodbye and thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
And thank you all for helping to hold the energy. And it's Monday. Wednesday with questions at messageaday.net. If you have questions, send them in, and we may ask you questions.
All right. Thank
you.
Thanks,
hi.
Terry. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you so much, all. We'll see you next, later.
Stop conference recording. Press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.